If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
July is National Disability Pride Month. We are talking to, again, one of my favorite public servants who's been very proactive and committed to the rights of disabled people here in Illinois. That is State Treasurer Michael Frericks. Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining me again.
Karen, happy to be back. Happy to talk about our ABLE program. So, helping out a lot of people in the state of Illinois.
A lot of people. And I did look this up. There are approximately 1.5 million, maybe one out of five Illinoisans mm-hmm. are disabled. And many are now basically eligible for a new type of account that you've spearheaded. Can you tell our listeners about this?
Yeah, so the background is that Illinois State Treasurer runs a college savings program, actually two programs, because parents want a brighter future for their kids, and they know that by investing in their education, they can have more success later in life. But there are parents of children with disabilities, and some with severe disabilities, that might not be going to college. Those parents want their children to have a brighter future as well. And if they're severely disabled and they qualify for federal benefits, those benefits have been at risk if they acquire too many assets, meaning in order to qualify for Social Security disability insurance, the federal government requires you to live in poverty. You can't have more than $2,000 in assets or you lose those benefits. So we set up a program after I came into office that allows families to put aside money in a 529 account. They can invest that money. The growth is tax-free, just like a college savings account, as long as it's taken out for a disability-related expense. But the beautiful part about this is they can save up to $100,000 in an ABLE account without losing their federal benefits.
And that is just so crucial. And I see a lot of people, Treasurer, who make that mistake, who you know, have money in an account for a disabled child, maybe leave money to them in a will or what have you. They don't protect it. And dollar for dollar, that money gets sucked up by whatever benefits are being given to the child or the adult child, which is a really sad situation. So this is the way to do it. And this is a really important thing for people to have available.
Yeah, I've heard so many sad stories of parents who said, my lawyer told me I had to cut my disabled child out of my will because the $50,000 or the $100,000 I was going to leave for them would be quickly eaten up when they lost their benefits. I talked to a mother who said she had a daughter with Down syndrome, and her daughter lived a long life. She eventually got a job working at a law firm, and at that law firm, she would sort the mail in the morning, she'd deliver the mail, and she did it with a smile. The lawyers liked her in the firm, and one of them called their mother and said, we're going to give your daughter a raise. And what do you suppose she had to tell her daughter's employer? No,
yeah.
Don't do it. Don't give her a raise. That is the horrible situation too many parents found themselves in, but it made financial sense. But with an ABLE account, and we came back and we passed ABLE to Earn, we're encouraging more people with disabilities to take on work, which gives them a greater life experience. They have a greater feeling, and too many were denied that opportunity in the past.
Absolutely. I saw you were in the newspaper. I followed your career. I've had you on the show many, many times, and mm-hmm. you kind of stay out of the fray of politics. I mean, your job is such that, you know, there's one goal and one goal only, is that preserve money, make money for the state, provide programs for people in need and people who may need in the future. But you did criticize some politicians earlier about issues of autism. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about this?
Well, I try to do my job, but part of my job is advocating on behalf of people with disabilities. And when I see elected officials out there who are making comments about how people got autism, diminishing their life experience, or making parents feel bad about this, then I feel obligated to call them out. It may not be exactly my job, but Karen, I'm also a person. I'm human. We have family members who have autism. I have other family members who are disabled. And, you know, they deserve dignity as well. And so if some other politician is going to be trying to score cheap political points at their expense, I will speak up.
And let's talk a little bit about your retirement program. This is another important program for people who maybe don't have a retirement program available through their job. And yet, you know, if you look at the statistics about how many people could actually retire, and if they're going to retire, you know, what is their quality of life? And this program is very, very important. So listen up. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so we started this after I took office. Because there's a retirement crisis here in this country. About half of Americans have not saved enough money for retirement. About nearly half haven't saved hardly anything, less than $5,000 for retirement. And if someone says, "Well, why don't I hear more about that?" It's because everyone knows they need to save for their retirement, but they find excuses for putting it off. You know, you have kids and they're expensive. So we'll start saving when the kids get a little older. But then you got to send the kids to school or to college, and that's expensive, and you'll start saving later. And too many people find themselves at 50, 60 years old, and it's getting to be a little late to save for retirement. So we want to make it easier. We set up a savings program. It's people get to manage their own money, but it's automatic payroll deduction going into their own individual Roth IRA. Studies show if a person has a workplace savings option, they are 15 times more likely to be saving for their retirement than someone who doesn't. And so we think the answer is help more people save at work.
That's a great program, and I hope that people listen and go on your website, the Illinois State Treasurer's website, and I'm sure you have people that can help give you answers if you have these questions. We touched upon college savings, but can we just talk just briefly about how important these accounts are? You know, I'm looking at the cost of college for kids. It just keeps going up and up, and, you know, you see some schools, private schools, up to $70,000-$90,000 a year, and that's not even graduate school or law school or medical school if the person, you know, is so inclined. Tell us how these college savings programs work, and are they stable, and are they trustworthy?
Yeah, so it's the way it works is you set up an account for someone in your family. You can set up an account for a child. You can set up an account for a grandchild or a niece or a nephew. You can set up an account for yourself and change the beneficiary later. You put the money in. You invest it how you want to invest it, depending on your tolerance for risk. And that growth in the account is tax-free when it's taken out for a higher education expense. So it's a great financial way to save. It has benefits over other savings options.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
We are talking to Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frerichs. Thank you for joining us. Let's finish our conversation about the college savings accounts. Where were we when we left off, Treasurer?
Well, I was trying to say that it's not just the amount of money you save. That is great. It is great to save money because it means that they'll graduate with less debt. They'll have more options out there. But just the existence of an account makes a kid three times more likely to attend college.
Huh.
If they're the first generation of their family, they're seven times more likely. Because just think about it. It's the message you send to a young person. When you tell a young person that you are saving money for them, you set up a college savings account, what they hear is, you're smart. Your college material, and I believe in you. And when you invest in your children or your grandchildren, they don't want to let you down. They work harder in school.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And, you know, I've had nephews and I've set up these accounts and they're wonderful, and other family members then can pitch in if they want. And, it becomes a wonderful thing for the whole family to invest in, yeah, your family member's future. And, it's just a fabulous thing. Let's talk.
And so I should encourage people when they do that, tell the young person why you made that contribution.
Yes.
Tell them you know they're smart. Tell them you know that they have a big future ahead of them. And believe me, they will work harder because they won't want to disappoint someone who has invested in them.
Absolutely. Quickly, we've got so many things to talk about. I want to talk about the Operation Purple Heart, and then I want to get to unclaimed funds. We're going to just have a little bit of time to do that.
Yeah, Operation Purple Heart is part of our unclaimed property department. We have over $5 billion in cash, but we also have things that people leave behind in bank safe deposit boxes. It can be any number of things from jewelry, collectibles, private personal information, but often we find our military veterans will put their medals aside. And unfortunately, too often, they pass away and people don't know about them. They come to us. those medals, including Purple Hearts, don't deserve to be in a cold vault in Springfield. They deserve to be in the warm embrace of family. And we have made a big effort to return 18 Purple Hearts to date. We still have more we'd like to return. If anyone would like to help with that, they can visit our website at OperationPurpleHeart.com. OperationPurpleHeart.org.
You have spoken before about some heartwarming stories. Can you just share with our listeners maybe one that particularly struck you as very poignant?
Boy, there are so many. But there was a gentleman who had passed away. We had his Purple Heart. We had his discharge papers. We had the Purple Heart papers. And when we called his daughter to say that we had her father's Purple Heart, she says, "Well, you must have made a mistake. My father never earned a Purple Heart." I said, "No, he did." She said, no, you must be mistaken. He came back from Korea, never talked about it, didn't tell his family about it, and she talked to me when we returned it how she felt so special that she was learning something new about her father. And I think that a lot of people go off, and if you earn a Purple Heart, there's only two ways to earn it, by being killed in battle or wounded. There's a lot of trauma associated with that. And so a lot of these guys wouldn't talk about it, and this was away after her father passed away, that she was still continuing to learn about him and respect him even more.
Amazing, amazing story. Let's talk about unclaimed funds. I mean, every time you come on, we do talk about it. I will tell people that there could be money sitting out there waiting for you. I've gone on myself.
For anyone.
Anyone. And sometimes, you know, Treasurer, I get bored at work, and instead of, you know, Googling stupid pet stories, I will actually go on and see if there's money sitting there for me. And occasionally I'll have $100 coming to me, and I like to get it, and I usually donate it to some charity just because it's found money. Sometimes I don't do that, but it's user friendly, and you never know what you're going to find. So tell our listeners exactly what these funds are and how they access them.
So this is a consumer protection law. I've been around in Illinois for about 60 years now. If a company is holding on to money that doesn't belong to them, that belongs to one of their customers, one of their clients or so, if they can't get they can't track down their customer, they're required to turn it over to the state, and then it's my job to find the rightful owners. So to date, we've returned over $2.6 billion to people. This could be things like an old last paycheck you never collected. Maybe you got a rebate or a refund from an insurance policy. Maybe you were the beneficiary of a life insurance policy. But I would say just last month, I had probably my best unclaimed property experience in the nearly 12 years I've held this office when I got to return money to Robert Prevost. He now goes by the name Pope Leo.
Oh, that's right. Oh, tell me about this. And did I'm sure he wasn't Googling around on your website. Was he?
He was not. He's a busy guy.
He is.
But when he was elevated to His Holiness, all the news in Illinois was he was from Illinois. And so my staff said, "I wonder if he has the unclaimed property." We found $8.65 from an old PayPal account. And we reached out to the Archdiocese. And they said, "Well, you know, the Pope takes a vow of poverty." Well, I was invited on a trip to meet the Pope. I took this information along, and I said, "I know you take a vow of poverty, Your Holiness, but we encourage you to claim this and give it to a charity, put it to good work, and then I can tell people to follow your example. Claim your money and do something good with it." And it sounds like, Karen, you've already been doing that. You didn't need the Pope's example.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess I should have had my hat in the ring, so to speak, to be Pope, maybe. Well, I don't think
it was pretty cool. He told me the story about, he said, "Well, I tried calling my old bank, and they hung up on me." This is something been reported.
Yes.
He apparently called to change some information, and when they asked his occupation, he said, "Well, I'm the Pope." And some person on the other end of the line thought someone was messing with them, and they hung up on the Pope.
That's
I'm sure they've gotten a lot of grief from their coworkers.
That's a great story. So I just want to just stretch this a little bit, because I know that a lot of people go on and maybe they have a loved one. They see their name, but then they see the name of a loved one who maybe has passed. And they think, well, how do I get this money if the person's gone? Who do I have to be in line? Do I have to be a spouse or a child? How do you do that, and how do you submit the paperwork?
So it is possible to claim that money, but it is a little more difficult when someone has passed. We need to see a copy of a will that you are the intended beneficiary, or some sort of probate records. You know, we find a lot of people, and because someone might have had multiple folks out there they wanted to share their money with. And it's probably one of the greater forms of fraud we find are people trying to claim money that doesn't belong to them, that it belongs to their siblings, belongs to relatives of some sort. So if you do find someone who you were noted in their will, you were a direct descendant, reach out to our office. We can help you find the relevant information, and we'd love to return that money to the rightful heir.
And before we go, you also have a program that I saw on your website that has to do with non-for-profits and helping them. Can you tell our listeners who would be interested in this and what does the program entail?
Yeah, so it's our Charitable Trust Grant Program. We make grants twice a year to charities that are focusing on food insecurity, housing, or workforce development. These are meant for smaller nonprofits with less than $1 million in an annual budget. But because so many programs helping out the hungry have been cut by the Trump administration, we are changing the focus right now to make $5,000 grants to food pantries and changing some of the requirements. So now even smaller food pantries or nonprofits can apply. We're in the application window right now. Encourage people to go to our website and click on the Charitable Trust Grant Program.
Thank you so much for joining us. Always one of my favorite segments here. This is Ben, Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frerichs. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I appreciate it. I know you're out of town and you're with family, but thank you for joining us and filling in my listeners to all your great programs.
Karen, thank you for the opportunity. We've got a lot of great programs in the Treasurer's Office. We don't have a large budget to share them, and I appreciate the opportunity.